God is so good. I'm just glad everybody's here. I don't know if you got washed away last night or not. That was quite the storm. I got to experience something for the first time as a father, to go with my daughter, who's going to be 16 here way too soon, to a prom. And I was pretty nervous. Just the whole idea of her going on a date. And she said, "Dad, it's not a date." I said, "I don't care what you call it. You're going to a dance, buying a gown that costs more than my first car. You call it whatever you want, but I want to meet with that young man." So he came to my house and we had some conversations. I said, "You want to borrow my car, I understand, and take it for a drive, my nice car with all the electric gizmos and the high roof and the TV and the stereos and the electronic this, and you just want to take it for the night, I understand, and drive it, and you and your buddies, and not even care and tell me what time you're bringing it home or whatever you're going to do with it." "No, Mr. Olson, that's not what I want. He says, "I just want to know if your daughter can go with me to the prom." I said, "I know." I said, "You wouldn't ask me for my car." He says, "No, I wouldn't." I said, "My daughter's worth more than that car." Yeah. And I have to say, this young man is a gentleman. But we got over to take pictures yesterday, and it was you could see it coming, the storm. And the alarms, the tornado sirens went off in Marysville. And I said, "This is a sign from God." You know what's really neat about that? Is that is wonderful as that was. They went out to dinner, and I know he's a gentleman. In fact, I heard his dad go, "Get the car door." So I was like, "Way to go." You know, a lot of good stuff going on there. And so they went out to dinner. They came back to Alexander's in Marysville for the dinner. We got a phone call that the power went out. And I said, "Well, that'll be a memorable problem." They got candle lights everywhere. And trying to get the backup generator wasn't working. They were hoping they would flicker every once in a while. They were hoping they would come back on. And the DJ couldn't DJ. And I'll be honest with you, some of this DJ rap stuff, I don't want to say it's rap crap, but okay, it is. There's some stuff I don't want my daughter out there dancing to, all right? And one of the young men at the prom, and I know him, he used to be in my youth group years ago, ran home and grabbed his guitar, and he did the music for the dance. And I said, "Now, there you go. Yeah, that's awesome." So I said, "There you go. A romantic evening, a nice, casual evening with some good music." And I'm sure he did. He's a talented young man. I'm sure he did fine. And I don't know what happened. I haven't seen my daughter yet this morning, so I don't know. But that's a hard thing as a dad. My daughter, my little princess, that's what I've always called her. I said, "Make sure your prince is charming." Because that's what's in a name. Today we're talking about hallowed be thy name, the name of God. Think about that. What's his name? And when we think about names, I mean, we name our kids, right? You get the baby books out. I'm sure that Kelly and Todd, who just had their beautiful little girl, Ray Lee, and this morning at 2 a.m., I'm sure they went through all the names and they did that. I remember going through that 5 times. Remember going through that, moms and dads? And how many of you, you know, so many times we pass names on. How many of you have a name that you passed on or your name after someone in your family? How many of you? Let's see those hands. Look at that. That's very popular in our culture, you know, and we do that. You know, my name is certainly, my middle name is from a grandfather. One of my sons is from a great-grandfather. My other son is from a great-great-grandfather. My other son is from the 2 grandpas. And then one has the middle name of two. I mean, we just did all this stuff and kept throwing it. We want to keep it alive because they're good names. We believe in those names. They're honorable men and women, and so we pass those on. Some cultures have some different things in naming people, like the Indians. I mean, they have things like, you know, the guys are, you know, Sitting Bull or Deer Walker or Listening Owl, and the women are, you know, Whispering Pines and White Moon. And it's interesting because for the name that they give to their children, I've heard some of the different tribes, when they walk out of the teepee, the first thing they see is what they name their child. I'm like, thank goodness that doesn't happen today, you know. Loud Siren, you know. Michigan, Cloudy Day, you know. Oh, Long Winter. Wait 5 minutes, you know. Hey, come here, wait 5 minutes, you know. My dad actually has a friend in Indian out in South Dakota. He's a good friend of his, and his name is Two Dogs. That is his name, Two Dogs. And I went, man, I'm so glad we have different traditions. My youngest daughter, who's 8, and I talked to her. I have permission. It already cost me $1 in the first service, and she hit me up. So you guys leave her alone, because she says, every time someone comes up to me, Dad, you owe me another $1. I said, that's not how this game is played, honey. You were born into this family. Get used to it. We had a debate when she was born. We were done, and 8 years later, we weren't done, and we were blessed with a little girl. And we talked about what to name her, you know. We really felt like we had a beautiful family, and we were definitely done, and God had another plan. And we're so thankful for that. She is a blessing. She is definitely a blessing. She snuck in. Hi, honey. Come here. Come up here. You can stay right there. That's fine. Usually she would have no problem being here, but we named her Abigail. And that was the name. We had two choices, and we really debated about it. Mama really wanted the name Gabrielle. And Gabrielle was a beautiful name. Abigail is what we finally settled on. And the reason I said Abigail, and I said, you know, and what really weighed it actually for us was Abigail, we'd probably call her Abby. People would call her Abby. Well, if we called her Gabrielle, people would probably call her Gabby. And I said, I don't want my daughter going through life being called Gabby. Although I would say this, I think now at this point, you don't know what I'm going to say. I would say at this point, I have a new idea that we wait 2 to 3 years for the children before we give them their official names that fit them. Okay, I owe you $1. Because, all right. You know, you look at that because certainly names are very, very important. It describes, you know, a name. We didn't name our oldest son one of his names that we actually had picked out. We were ready to do the birth certificate. It was Andrew Nicholas. And the reason we didn't do Nicholas is one of our good friends that my wife went to college with, a roommate, came in, and we were still in college, and she came in after he was born, and they were so excited. They go, wow, you're going to name him Nicholas after my cat. I'm so honored. We changed his middle name. Because of that, I thought, I'm not going to have anybody going around saying, our son's named after a cat, a furball. And so we named him Nikolai. Now people go, is he Russian? No, he's just not a cat, okay? Names are important, and it's amazing how names affect us. You hear a name, we name a lot of children Joshua. It's the number one name in the world. Joshua. The reason that Joshua is such a popular name is because Joshua in the Old Testament was a great warrior. But not only that, but a lot of people don't know this, that that's the name for Jesus. It's actually the Hebrew name, Yeshua, which is Joshua. It is the number one name in the world for boys. You don't find boys named Judas. Hey, what do you want to name him? Why don't we name him Judas? Maybe he'll turn out to be something someday. That's not a popular name. Or girls. The number one girl name is Mary. Because of the Holy Mother of God. I mean, or of Jesus. She was Mary. It's a popular name. You don't find a lot of girls named Jezebel. Okay? It doesn't usually fly. And names are really important. And so when we come to this morning, our Father who art in heaven, today we talk about hallowed be thy name. What is the name of God? Most people say, well, it's God. Or maybe it's Father. Or as one little girl said, it's Howard. Howard be thy name. And no, it's not Howard, and it's not Art, who art in heaven. It's none of those. A lot of people really, and they go like this. God. Doesn't that seem a little impersonal? If God really wants to have a relationship with us, hallowed be thy name. Well, what is the name of God? Certainly, he's a respected God. I love what David said in the psalm. In Psalm 99, he said, God's name in your Bible, it says very clearly in Psalm 99. We think we made this word up somewhere. I don't know where we got that idea, but it says, the Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord. He is exalted over the nations. Listen to this. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Awesome. Awesome isn't something you guys came up with, parents. Kids, you didn't come up with the name awesome. In fact, I mean, we came up with a lot of things like neat, cool, far out, groovy, right arm, right on, whatever it is, right on, right arm. Far out. God, 30 God over, 3,500 years ago said that when he was described, David said, he is awesome. His name is awesome. What that means is this, he is the sum of my awe. That God is, when you think about who he is, you just go, ah. Now take all of that and let it be the sum of everything you have, that every breath in your life, when you think about God's name, well, what is his name? Well, his name is to be holy. It is to be hallowed. When we think about his name, people say, well, his name is God, Father God, Jesus, Jesus Christ. Well, it says, holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. Well, there's a lot of people that don't hallow the name of God. You know, there's a lot of people that misuse the name of God. You hear it. It's Exodus chapter 20. Do not use the name of the Lord your God. Don't use his name in vain. And that's an easy commandment to remember. The three. It's the third commandment. It looks like a mouth with a tongue sticking out of it. Don't use God's name in vain. I hear God's name used in vain all the time. People will say, Jesus this, or oh my God, or other kinds of things. Now, I have people ask me all the time, what do I do? I have these people around me that use God's name in vain. What do I do with that? I said, well, they probably don't know God, and so they really don't care how they use God's name. And so when you have an unbeliever that uses God's name, and I remember years ago, I had a friend up in Croswell, and he told me this one day. He worked for the farmer's elevator. He said he drove around all the time with this guy who worked with him, and this guy would use God's name all the time in vain. He goes, what do I do? I said, well, he probably doesn't know. I'm not sure what you do with it. You could ask him. I do all the time. And he's still, Jesus this, Jesus that, oh my, and oh my, and oh my, or God, God. He says, what do I do? I said, I don't know. Pray about it. Maybe God will give you an opportunity. Say, you know what? Please don't do it. I remember one Sunday afternoon after church, he came up to me. He says, I did it. It worked. I said, what? He says, he's not going to do it anymore. I said, really? Why don't you tell me? Maybe I can use it. And what he said is they're driving along, and the guy is doing this again, using God's name in vain. And he said, he looked over. He says, hey, what's your dad's name? He said, Bob. He said, Bob, huh? Okay. So they're going along. The guy's using the Lord's name in vain. And so my friend said, leans over and he says, yeah, boy, that really gets me hurt too. Oh, my Bob. And the guy looked over and said, what'd you say? He said, oh, nothing. And so they're going along a little bit further. And he goes, man, doesn't that just get your Bob? I just want to Bob all the time. Man, oh, my Bob. Bob, Bob, Bob. And the guy looked over and says, you better knock that off. I don't know what you think you're doing, but you better knock that off. The guy's ready to punch him in the nose. And he goes, well, maybe now you understand what it means when you use my father's name in vain. And it really had an impact. Now, I don't do that, okay? I'm not about to use your dad's name in vain. But you know, that's for an unbeliever. For a believer, when it says, hallowed be thy name, here's what it is. The Hebrew word is shaveh. Shaveh is, do not use the Lord's name in shaveh. And what that means is, don't worship falsely. In other words, don't let your lifestyle not match up to your lip style. That's what it means to use God's name in vain. So, I mean, certainly using his name improperly is one thing. But God says, don't use your lifestyle improperly. If you claim to hallow his name, then live a holy life for a holy God. If you claim the name of Jesus Christ, let that name, because when you bring that name down, I always tell my kids, be honest. Be an honest person. The Olson name, my father, your grandfather, is a very hardworking, honest person. Be a hard worker. Be an honest person. You represent your grandfather. You represent his father and his father. Your name, the way you live, people are going to reflect and say, if they look and they go, oh, that's their kid. Well, we know what they must be like. So when I talk about hallowing my father's name, hallowed be thy name, people look at me and they go, oh, that must be what God is like. So that's what it means to hallow the name of God. Well, let's look at the name of God. What is God's name? Well, his name is Yahweh. His personal name is Yahweh. If you have your Bibles, you go back to the second book of the Bible, Exodus. There's a great story in Exodus where Moses, if you know who Moses is, say amen. If you don't know who Moses is, you probably haven't been in church much. I'm not going to ask you to say anything today. Hey, listen, I understand that I could just say, well, you all know who Moses is. Listen, when I got saved at 19 and went to Oklahoma to college, I sat in a church and a pastor did that with Moses. Now, this is back in 1984, and I went, yeah, Moses, Philadelphia 76ers, Moses Malone. Okay, I'm not assuming everybody knows who Moses is. But he was the guy who was put in the basket, floated down the Nile River, found by Pharaoh's servants, brought into the palace, raised in royalty, discovered he was a Jew in his lineage, and then killed a warrior, one of the Egyptian servants, and fled. Started, now he's got a family. He's out working for his father, Jethro, living, you know, with his family, his wife, Zipporah. Here's the story. Moses comes to a burning bush, and he's out taking care of the flocks. And he comes to this burning bush, it's burning. And let's pick up the dialogue in verse 4 of chapter 3. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, wouldn't you? God called out from the burning bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. God said, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, let me catch up here. Abraham gets the promise in Genesis. God is God. It's a generic name. It's actually, he does reveal himself as El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the Hebrew word, means powerful, mighty one. In other words, Abraham knew God as this powerful, awesome, mighty God. Isaac knew him that way. Jacob knew him that way, and so forth. In fact, it says, when he says, I am El Shaddai, look what Moses does. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look. Well, yeah, he's a mighty God. Don't kill me. I'm out here by myself. I'm going to die on this mountain. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people, Egypt. So he goes through and walks him through this. Now, Moses is going to ask a question. Help me out here. If you're standing on a mountain out somewhere in the wilderness by yourself, taking care of sheep, a bush is burning, are you going to tell anyone what just happened? Then a voice comes out of a burning bush and says, Moses, Moses. And you say, yes. He says, I am your God. And you're going to come back and say, listen, I want you to know, I was just down at Lakeside Beach, and I saw this log float up out of the water, driftwood. I walked over to the driftwood because it called my name. I said, yes, driftwood, who are you? And he says, I am God. You're not going to tell anybody. I want us to get the reality of what just happened, because sometimes we read that and go, wow, that's just so spiritual. Come on, folks. It's a bush that's talking to him that's on fire. Okay? He's got a couple of choices here. One, he falls on his face, and he's afraid. The other one, the God does begin to speak to him, and he begins to answer. But don't you think the first question is going to be, when God says this, down at verse 12, and God said, I'm sorry, not there yet, verse 10, so now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I don't think that's his real question. The bush is burning. I think he's okay with understanding weird things are happening. Going to Pharaoh may not be the issue. Here's the issue. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship on this mountain. Here we go. Now here it is. This is the question. Moses said to God, suppose I go, and the Israelites, and I say to them, hey, God has sent me to you. And then they're going to ask me, what's his name? That's a good question. Who is this God? And I love his answer. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now, there's a great one. Okay, everybody, I'm here. God spoke to me. He's there. Who is he? What's his name? I am. You are what? I am. I am what? I am sent you. I am sent you. Who sent you? I am. Sent me. Wait a minute. Who sent you? I am. I don't know. Third base. You see where this is going? Now, God is not trying to be coy with him, but it feels like an Abbott and Costello routine here. Out at a burning bush, now he's got to go into town, talk to the Pharaoh, and talk to the people and convince them. Understand this. When God showed up, he had one shot to describe himself. He didn't say, I'm Bob. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. He didn't say, I'm Joshua. He said, I am, period. Now, understand this in the translation. For God to have said, I am, I was talking to my family this week. I said, I'm so excited about this. When you understand this truth, this will absolutely excite you in your faith. When God says, I am, if you understand about declining verbs, it is a verb. It is the verb to be. God is saying, I'm a verb. Who are you? I'm a verb. And my son, my oldest son, looked at me and he got it. He goes, Dad, you're telling me God said I'm an action. There we go. I'm an action. He did. He said, I'm an action. He could have described himself as a noun. He could have said, I'm this. I'm strong. Or I'm not strong. I am the deliverer. He could have said, I'm the conqueror. He didn't do that. He said, I am that I am. In other words, it can be translated, I is who I is. And you say, that's bad grammar. Well, translating it into English, actually it's not. And another way to say it is, I will be what I will be. Now watch this. My God came onto the scene, and for the first time in human history, He gives us four letters, YHWH, Yahweh. He describes up His name as Yahweh. Now I say Yahweh because there are no vowels in the Hebrew language, and so they would pronounce it Yahweh. Now some have said the very breath that we take names God. Yahweh. And I thought, well, no doubt that no wonder why the Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our very being. But think about this, Jehovah. We say Jehovah. Jehovah is actually a mispronunciation that came not too long ago, not even quite 1,000 years ago. Jehovah was because they had the name Yahweh, which means I am that I am. The Jews felt that they could never say His name. In fact, if you read an Orthodox Jews papers or hear them talk, they'll spell it G-D. They will not spell God. They will not say Yahweh. They will not pronounce it or write it. They think it's too holy, and to do that, they feel that they would blaspheme God. They don't want to be struck dead. So they substituted a word that's found in your Bible, Adonai. Adonai means the Lord. So what happened was, years go by, and Yahweh, meaning I am that I am, is translated in your Bible, Lord. Because they were afraid to write it. But it is Yahweh. In fact, it's found over 6,800 times, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. It's not the word El, which is God. In other words, he could have said, my name is God. Now, El is in the Bible about 72 times in the Old Testament. But 6,800 plus times, God says, Yahweh. The reason is, He doesn't want to be a generic God. He wants to be a personal God into our lives. And so He says, I am Yahweh. Now, because of Adonai being translated, and they'll still say Adonai today, the Orthodox Jews, and Yahweh, what someone did as years went by, they took the vowels of Adonai, and they inserted that into Yahweh. And that's where we get the word Jehovah. Now, Jehovah isn't wrong. It is a mispronunciation. That's like saying, your name's Mitchell or it's Matchell. It's Mutchell. It's Mitchell. But you can call me whatever you want as long as you know it's still me. And I say that, it's not wrong, because the Hebrew letter Y for Yahweh is actually in the Hebrew J. And so when they took the J and they added the A and the O into Yahweh, and the W can be translated and sound in a V, they got Jehovah, Jehovah. So people say Jehovah God, or they say, you hardly hear anyone use the name Yahweh. It's almost always Jehovah. But here's the great news. God is an action God. Moses comes on the scene and God says, here it is. Are you ready for this? And my family, I had to bring him into my office this week when I was studying. I said, you got to come in, my home office. I said, you got to come in here and hear this. This is great. My God says, I am that I am. In other words, I will be whatever you need me to be when you need me to be it. That's good news. My God says, I will be, if I define myself as one thing, that's all I am. But He says, I am going to show up and I can be in an action what you need. In other words, like this, when He said, I am Jehovah, I am Yehovah, I am Yahweh, then He comes along and He says, when Moses does this, he goes to Pharaoh and they get released. They go into the wilderness, and the first thing that Moses needs in his life is, I am that I am, we're hungry. I've got 2 million people. We're out in the desert. Have you seen the desert? It's not the best garden in the world. How are 2 million people, all of their cattle, all of their sheep, all of their children, going to eat and drink? And God says, I am Jehovah Jireh. Wait a minute. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the action I am, your provider, a noun. He takes the verb and he puts it with a noun. I am Jehovah Jireh. I want you to know I am so glad that God isn't just Jireh, my provider, because that would be just one thing in my life. But He is Jehovah always in my life. And when I need provision in my life, He becomes my Jehovah Jireh. Isn't that great that when you need the manna in your life, when you're in the wilderness of your life, God steps and says, I'm going to be what I will be in your life. God, I need Jehovah. I need Jehovah in my life to Jireh in my life. There's another word. And all around this room this week, we posted those. My wife put those up when we were doing our 7 days of praise. There's Jehovah Jireh. There's Jehovah Shalom. There's a time in my life when I need the peace of God. I need Him not to say, well, I'm just a peace. I'm just the peace in your life. I need the provision, but I also need the peace. And there are times in my life when I say, Jehovah Shalom. I need the God. I will be the peace in your life right now. And how many of you could say, boy, I'm so glad that Jehovah isn't just a noun, but He is a verb, and He adds on all the nouns when I need that noun in my life. Amen? Where is my banner?
I don't know, it's
here. I thought you guys would get a little more excited about this. This is my Jehovah Nissi. My Jehovah Nissi. There was a time in the Israelites' life where they said, I need... Nisi meaning banner. I need a banner over me. I need a flag in my life. This is my flag. We wave the white flag and say, I surrender, God. You are powerful. You are almighty. You have things under control. I need to know that God is my Jehovah Nisi. I need to know that when the world says, you can't talk about Jesus at Christmas time. I need to know when I can't talk about it in the school system. I got to know that certain things I preach are going to get me in trouble. I got to know that God is still in control. He is my Jehovah Nisi. He said, when you need it, I'm going to step into that. I am that I am. And right now I am the Nisi. I am the Jehovah Nisi. I am a banner. I am a flag over your life. My son is serving right now. Many of your family serve, and I am so proud of them. I hadn't heard my son in a long time, but he called this week, and it was so good to hear his voice. And I'll say this. He serves under a banner, under a Nisi. He serves under the United States flag, the Stars and Stripes. I have to tell you, even before he served, I had a place in my heart. Whenever I hear the Star Spangled Banner, I cannot stand and not respect that. I have to. It tears me up. It makes me feel proud. I'm so happy under the banner of the freedom of the United States of America. I really am. That is a Nisi that God has put over us. We have the freedom of speech, the freedom to assemble, the freedom of religion. I am so thankful for the banner that God has put over us. And I understand that, and I understand it a lot more now that my son is in there and his life. He said, Dad, somebody asked me, do you think you can take him? He texted us a picture this week with his shirt off, standing in front of the mirror like no men ever do. I put on 20 more pounds, and it's just solid. I looked at it, and we were showing someone, they said, do you think you can take him? I said, I don't think I could before he left. I definitely don't think I can now, but I'm so proud because I said, and I can't touch him because if I assault him, he's property of the United States government. That's like breaking into a federal building or something. I mean, he is, as a contract, he is the United States government. He's under that banner. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought way back in the Revolutionary War when the British were firing upon a fort on the East Coast. And Francis Scott Key stood in his ship as a prisoner and penned those words, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? As he began penning those things, he said, with all the stuff going on, he said this, and the ramparts we watched. And the ramparts we watched. And with everything streaming, he said, and everything that's going on, he says, we saw our flag was still there. Our Nisi. You know what that meant to everyone fighting? That meant to everyone fighting, well, it's not over. I'm not done. God's still in control. That's what I want to know. It's not over. He's still in control. We're still winning. When you hold up the Nisi, when you hold up the flag, and I'm sure when these guys were looking at that, they're going, the fort hasn't fallen. What we don't understand is history that tells us in that story, it's recorded that in that rampart that we watched,
where the flag was up on the pole in that rampart. A lot of people don't understand that that flag had to stay flying so that they would continue fighting and have the confidence to win and thwart their enemies. And what I heard one historian say was that as that would be hit by bombardment, it broke and it was falling, and a bunch of Americans went up and they held it up with their bodies. They were killed and stacked, and others stood on top and held it up, and they stacked. That rampart was a rampart of human blood, holding up that banner to say, fight on, fight on, fight on. I am so thankful that my God says to me today, I am your Jehovah Nisi. This banner stands because men and women like Paul and John and James and Peter and Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, their blood has held up that banner, say, my God reigns. My God reigns. Hallowed be the name Jehovah Nisi. That's good stuff. That is what God says. He says, I'm not just one thing in your life. I can be what you need when you need it. And he describes himself over and over. He's Jehovah Sitkenu. The Lord, my righteousness. I don't know about you. There's times in my life I need God to be my righteousness because I'm not so righteous. You know, there's times it gets really tough. When my son called me this week, you know, we've been praying how hard it is in this world to live for Jesus Christ. I don't know about your righteousness, but my Bible tells me my righteousness to God are like filthy rags. They don't compare. But God says He will become my righteousness, my Sitkenu, my Jehovah Sitkenu, my God of righteousness. I am your righteousness. And I am so thankful that God is my righteousness today. I've been praying for my son, and I said, son, I love you. I'm praying that you get into a church. When he first got there, he tried to find a church off campus. He didn't understand a word that was spoken. He got into this denominational thing, and he wasn't used to it. And the preacher did what's called an emphatic breath, you know, and he said, I couldn't understand a word he was saying, Dad. He said, it kind of scared me. He says, but the language I hear, God's name used in vain. He said, the swearing, the curse. He says, Dad, it is so hard to stay righteous around hundreds of people and sergeants and people that are just out there. They're trying to do their job, but they're doing it in a way that's not certainly glorifying God necessarily, okay? I'm not saying that everybody there is unsaved. I'm just saying you understand what I'm talking about. It's the United States Army. When they're running around doing chants and cadences about how they're going to kill someone. Okay, this is the United States Army. They're there to fight, defend, and to protect, okay? And he's in the midst of this trying to have Jehovah Sitkenu. He's trying to have a righteousness. He says, Dad, it's so hard. I said, I've been praying for you. We hadn't heard from him in a long time, and then it happened. He called up a few days ago, and he says, Dad. I said, oh, it's so good to hear your voice. I said, how are you doing? He says, I'm doing a lot better. I said, had you found a church? He says, I did. I said, what did you do for Easter? I said, did you get to go off campus to go to a church? He said, no. The entire fort, they let, in our battalion, they let four guys have a pass. That's it for Easter. I said, it's Easter. They didn't let you all go? He says, no. Four guys got passes. But on the base, I found a Protestant church. He said, Dad, I walked through those doors. And whoever was there goes because you want to be there. Nobody makes you. He said, I walked in, there were 1,000 United States soldiers. He said, Dad, we got up and started singing. He said, when you sing with soldiers, it's not like, my hope is built on nothing less. No, these guys are you saying, sir, yes, sir. He said, there were 1,000 soldiers, and we stood up in unison. 1,000 men. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He said, 1,000 voices. He said, Dad, I just cried. I couldn't even sing. God is our righteousness when we don't have righteousness. God is my Sitkenu, Jehovah Sitkenu. God, I'm in the midst of an unrighteous people, but make my life righteous through the blood of Christ. And our God is a God of righteousness when we need Him to be our righteousness. See, it's easy to have righteousness today. You're in with God's people. But I need my Sitkenu. I need my Shalom. I need my Jehovah Nisi, my Jehovah Jireh, and on and on. But you know what I need more than anything this morning?
the name of God. Blessed be His name. The Bible says to hallow His name. Here's what I need. I need a name that is above every name. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And the Bible says that God gave Him the name that is above every name. I need Jesus. I need my Emmanuel. You see, because God said, I will be what you need me to be. And at the age of 19, I said, God, I need you to be my salvation. And He sent His Son to this earth to become for me my salvation. He is my Emmanuel. He is my Savior. You see, when God comes, He comes where you need Him, when you need Him. He's an action, but He will come as a noun. He will come in power. He will come in glory. And I can say, hallowed, how holy, how great. I can say with David, in my Bible, I can say with David, I will praise His awesome name. He is the sum of my awe. And I stand today because He became my Emmanuel. He became the Savior of my life. He redeemed me, He saved me, and He changed me. And I stand here today. And I can say with my son and 1,000 soldiers there and 250 soldiers here, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That is my God. To close this service, there was an old black preacher, and he could preach. He's passed away, and you just lose the flavor of someone who knows the name of God. I want to share this with you right now, the name of our God.
The Bible says, "My King is the King of the Jews." He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know Him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know Him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? Well, His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. Yes, He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
I hope you got a little personal taste of who your God is. He is Yahweh this morning. Moses said, "What's your name?" And God opened the box and said, "I am who I am, and I will be who I will be." I hope you know Him today. I hope you do. Would you stand with us?